gentleman. He needs no introduction. He's our first speaker for tonight. His name is Jeff W.
Hello, family. My name is Jeff, and I'm an addict. You know, the more people that came in here, the more nervous I got. And what really makes me nervous is that for each person that came in here, I have to expose myself. I have to expose myself individually, you know, my hideous disease. I was hit with the topic, is it love or is it desperation? And that's exactly what I said. And it was revealed to me when I first got here 8 years ago. I was in chaos mode. I was angry. I was mad. Everybody was a problem except me. And I couldn't figure it out. But you people came along and you told me, just sit still long enough. It'll all be revealed. Take your time. Just keep coming back. And then eventually, it dawned on me. It told me to get a sponsor. It told me to get in service. It told me to do some things. And I did all of what they told me to do. And after the process took place, I got to step number 4, a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself. Why do I do what I do? My sponsor went through the process, and I put it on paper, and we talked about it, we struggled with it, and it was all revealed. But eventually, I kind of like had to get some outside help. You know, because I suffered from more than just one disease. I suffered from depression. You know, I suffered from, the list just goes on. I mean, it's just so many of them. So at that point, when I got to the point where I needed a psychiatrist and a psychologist, my psychologist revealed to me, after we really got deep into what was going on with me and my behavior about flesh, about love, she said, Jeff, well, let's start with your history of your family. You know, I come from a family where I have a dear and loving grandmother who raised me. But in the meantime, I come from a family who suffered from the abuse of drugs, my mother, my father. And at that point, I might get emotional, so be it. But at that point, you know, after we talked about it, I remember the day one in my mother's womb when she would introduce substance of alcohol and or drugs, how it would worm around inside of her. I would worm around because I got this feeling. And the feeling that I got was a touch. How she would worm, how I would worm around and she would rub her belly. Then eventually it got to the point where I was feeling this. I was really feeling the touch of my mother. So as I came out of my mother's womb, I looked around and she wasn't there. I looked around for her touch, I looked around for her love, and she wasn't there. And it was replaced by my grandmother, but it wasn't the same touch. So it became to a process, it became desperation. The desperation took place when I looked around for my father, and he wasn't there either. So what I had to do was, or what I attempted to do, was look for somebody to fill the void. I looked for other people to fill the void. I looked for anybody who could fulfill the void of that touch, you know. I wanted to gravitate, so my first drink actually took place, and this part, and alcohol is a drug. When I used to go to church, my grandma used to rush me off, and as she rushed me off, me and my siblings, we would be in a rush, and I would be hungry. So as I would go and get that wine, that communion wine, and that bread, it would go down my stomach, and I would say, you know what, this is feeling real familiar here. The desperation part of it. This is real feeling, real for me, and it would subside, and it would actually feed my hunger. But after a while, it became a part of me because it gravitated. It became a part of me to the point where I started to like it. Didn't know it. Then at that point, it was no longer a recreational part. It became a part where I started to medicate the feeling because eventually, I started to gravitate marijuana, crack. And throughout the process, I would say, you know what? I'm filling this void because daddy wasn't there. Mommy wasn't there. I need anything and everything to fill the void of that touch. So after it all went down, My sponsor revealed to me that my mother was just a part of the process and I had to go through it. I kind of like grew up. I grew up and I said, you know what? Now that I'm in the process of recovering, I must do some things. I must work on me. Because periodically, I like to fill the void with the touch of a woman. Periodically, I like to feel the touch of a woman by tricking, by doing anything necessary to get that touch. So now I'm at the point, now I'm at a plateau and a plane. I'm no longer using it as an opportunity, as an excuse. I'm using the fellowship to guide me through the process. The process of saying that, you know what, I hurt inside. I hurt and I want to blame everybody for my hurt. But I can no longer do that. I've been here long enough to know that whenever I go through it, I have to call on people. I have to become responsible. So now I'm at the dilemma of, what do I do? Where do I go next? And I feel like sometimes I just don't know what to do. But I keep going through and I keep rocking through it. Sometimes I get to the point where I get into a fetal position and I go through my depression. But it's nothing but God telling me, you know, sit still long enough. Just don't use. Rock through it. You know, it's going to be all right. And every time I do what I do, I come out on the other side. Sometimes it becomes a point where, it's, you know what, I want to control people just to make me feel good. But at the same time, you know, I look back and say, what are the consequences? I have an ex-wife who just would not let me live it down for what I did in the past. The desperation. You mean me being in this hideous disease at the time of my addiction and gravitating to anybody who could make me feel good. So now I'm reaping the benefit. I'm reaping what I sowed because at the time I wasn't in love. I just want somebody to hold on to. My wife became, or ex-wife became overbearing. Mind you, she's 3 years older than me. And at that point, she became controlling. And I just didn't have a clue. What was I going through? So I would go out and I would use because of the fact that I didn't know what to do. So now, periodically, she throws in my face what I did, and I'm struggling with a son who wants to do the same thing. And I'm trying to be a powerful example by maintaining my composure and not reacting but responding to situations that become crisis. Because, theoretically speaking, sometimes I go through a desperation point because I love my family, and my family loves me. But at this point, it's in the hands of God. The God of my understanding. This process is, you know, not an easy process because sometimes I want to use. I want to use people. I want to use anything. I want to get out of actually feeling what I feel. But I have to recall those days that I did use and when I did use how I felt after it was done and all over with. I feel like pure, utter shit. That's what I felt like. So now, today, I'm feeling better than I ever felt. I'm feeling better, one, because I got people in my life that love me, and I love them, too. I got people that are genuinely concerned who guide me through the process. I got people in my life, including my immediate family, that say, but Jeff, you know, it's going to be all right. We're going to support you. You know, the desperation periodically comes up, the desperation of saying, you know, I need someone to help me. Because periodically, I like to run things. I like to run people. I like to run a job. I can do anything to put me in charge because I don't want to go through the process. I become desperate. You know, I love myself today, you know, and I'm just starting to build a relationship with my mother after all these years because somebody told me, Jeff, you need to raise your acceptance level, lower your expectations, and keep a zero tolerance. And I keep that in my pocket, and I walk with it. People are just who they say they are. People are just who they're supposed to be. And they are where they're supposed to be. I have no control. Only thing I can do is be a powerful example. And that's a struggle every day. It's a struggle on the job. It's a struggle in the family. It's a struggle every day because the process of desperation and love sets in. And I have to fight the flesh. You know, I'm jumping around because emotionally I don't know where I'm going with this. But I can tell you one thing for certain, two things for sure, I just hadn't used today. You know, and that's the biggest part of this whole process, that you just don't use. And I'm doing continuously, day by day, just not using. But periodically, like I said before, I use other people. I'm supposed to be getting married sometime soon. Yeah, that's a big one for a lot of people, because some of you people know me. In the desperation, I'm looking at myself all over again, how my fiance wants to support the whole bill. And I'm saying, you know what, Jeff, what's wrong with you? You're doing the same damn thing you did last time, you know? You're doing the same thing of using somebody just to medicate what you're going through. And I'm talking to my psychologist. She's telling me, Jeff, you know, it don't sound like the right thing to do right about, because you're not in love. You in like, but you're not in love. You know, so I'm telling my fiance or potential fiance, you know, I'm trying to get out of debt. I don't want to do the wedding piece. Well, we can just go to Justice of the Peace. I'm like, I don't want to do the, what do you do when you do it after the wedding, reception? I can't afford it. Well, I could do that too. That's what she's saying to me now. Arbitrarily, she ain't got the message. So I'm saying, you know, we are more alike than we are different. Is it love or is it desperation? We're clean and needy people. And that's what I have a tendency of doing sometimes. My psychologist revealed that to me. But Jeff, you know what? You seem to be clinging, or you're picking up needy people. You're picking up people like yourself. Desperate. I wanted to say, you know what, boo, I love you. I love you, but I'm not in love. It suggested that when you do get married, that you be in love. And I'm saying to myself, why am I not in love with this woman? And the more I think about it, I say, you know what? I'm having the biggest problem, flesh. You're not the perfect woman that I want you to be on the outside. But heaven knows you do everything on the inside just to make me feel comfortable. Why can't I accept that? Because I got a chaotic mind of mine that sees only the flesh. Sometimes I don't want to get inside of what the kindness of another person can do. And I'm sure if she heard that, she'd probably run out here crying. But I got to get real, because now I'm exposing myself to this whole group of people. Is it love or is it desperation? Why am I doing the same thing, expecting different results? Marrying a person, going through the process, and not being in love. Well, the biggest thing that I have is that I'm going to be frank with you. I like fruits. I like a variety of different fruits. And when I say fruits, I'm talking about women and women and women. They say if you do what you keep doing what you do, you're going to get what you get. And that wasn't justified, because I use a condom, all right. You know, but the reality of it is that I'm really not all right, because I can't sit still with me. Desperate. I continuously be desperate. But want to love somebody. And I really want to say, you know what, I'm in love with you. For real, I'm not. You know, I used to my feelings. And I remember day in and day out, when I was in the height of my addiction, how I would go out and proceed to coerce you, seduce you, as long as I had the drug of your choice. But theoretically, I wasn't going nowhere, because I was impotent. And that was part of my disease, too. But I'm still thinking I could do the damn thing. Knowing damn well it wasn't going nowhere. Feeding the flesh. Because you stood me up. We had a new date now. You stood me up. You got to be replaced. I go find somebody else to do what I do. And I stayed in it for a long time. But eventually, people around me got hip to my game. Oh, you still got a job, Jeff. And all of a sudden, you know what? Your character, your chaos is starting to weed in other people's lives now. You know, it's starting to read into other people's lives where it become intolerable. And the first thing to go was a job. And at that point, I was no longer a dressed up garbage can, because I didn't have a job. I was just a garbage can. On the inside, burning from the out. Wanting to blame everybody. Mommy for leaving me. Daddy for not being there. you know, grandmother for having that such a stern heart and a stern condition, who wanted to raise a man-child. You know, I wanted to blame everybody for my disease, ex-wife, everybody. But sitting down long enough and revealing it, you know what, I was my biggest problem, being in chaos mode. But I'm loving life today. I'm loving it one day at a time. You know, I look forward to helping people, genuinely. I look forward to giving you my last, you know, because God has delivered me from this hideous disease called addiction. But preoccupied, like I said, I jump back to desperation. You know, I jump back to say, you know, I'm in love with you, but really I'm not. I keep reverting back and forth with that, you know, because that's part of the process. That's part of my process. And I want to say I'm in denial, but I'm really not. But I really am. Anything to convince you. Anything to convince you that we can do the damn thing. But reality, we really can't. Because I know where it's going. I know where we're going with it. I know where we're going with it. I'm going to be exposed all over again because periodically I like, you know, hide myself. I like to, like, you know what? This is not the really me who you think this is. But it's revealed. You know, it happens on the job, you know, me getting there. Because I remember that periodically as I would have these jobs, I would continuously get fired. Time and time and time after again. And what would happen is because I would want to do the job, it's like, you know what? I think we should do it this way. I think we should do it that way. And the supervisor boss would say, well, Jeff, you know what? Why don't you just take this pink letter and start your own business? And I couldn't figure it out. And then it was revealed to me, maybe you need to take some suggestions, Jeff. Just take some suggestions. You know, eventually when people need your help, they call on you. And that's what's happening today. People are actually calling on me. People are actually calling on my spirit instead of me. And I show up. Because with me, I bring the God of my understanding. I bring the God of my understanding to let you feel or let you understand that, you know, you can get through this process. I love life today. I really love life today. And I love my kids. I love everybody that comes in my past because I understand that, you know, I'm supposed to get something out of everybody that I come in contact with. And I'm not saying physically in the text, but I'm talking about in the spirit. Even if it's no more than just a gesture of a benign smile. You know, even if it's no more than just opening the door or giving you direction. You know. But I understand that everybody must go through their process. Now I got to understand what the process is. Because around me, there are so many things that are put in front of me. You know, there are stop signs, go signs, get out of my life signs. It depends, you know, what signs you want to be. And I got to interpret it. Why are you putting in my life? Is it love or is it desperation? And after sitting there, finding out, does your spirit match my spirit? I conclude in most cases that I can get through it with you. You know, my acceptance is at all-time high. All-time high. It's pretty much little to nothing that a person can do to take my spirit away from me. Because I understand that in this process that I can't give you my spirit. I can let you borrow it. You can't make me mad because I know what the adversary has in store for me. And that's my process. You know, it took me a while to get to where I'm at today in my life. But I think that I can't say that I've arrived, but I'm on my way. I'm on my way. One, because I hadn't used a day. Any day is a good day as long as you ain't used. And I haven't used. But again, I struggle with this flesh. Why me? Somebody say, well, why not you? What makes you different from anybody else? You know, Adam and Eve had to go through it. So now I'm in it. You know, I'm in the process of saying, you know what, Jeff, please stop using people, especially women. But I'm on this crusade, I got to get back at my mother. I want to hurt you like I was hurt. And in the very end, only person to get hurt is me. Because the last relationship that I thoroughly thought I was in love with, the sister was married, you know, and I coerced her to get away from her husband, who was in an abusive relationship. And like I said, I have a tendency of picking up needy women. And after that process took place, she said, well, Jeff, you know what? it seems to me like, man, you just not making it today. I'm like, what am I doing wrong? He said, well, first of all, if you don't understand, you can be easily replaced. And I didn't understand, because as long as she was touching me and cooling me and rubbing my back, I was okay. But when they have to reciprocate, is it love or is it desperation? I couldn't do it. So in the bitter end, she told me, she said, Jeff, you know what? What you won't do, someone else will. And that's what happened. Another brother came along and swept her off her feet. I stalked her. I peeked out windows. I climbed on her balcony. You know, I waited around the car at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Desperate now. Desperate, because she did me like I thought no one other woman could do. You know, she gave me or made me seem pristine, greater than, because her husband wasn't doing a damn thing. But all I, like I said, I have a tendency of picking up desperate people. I don't have to pick up desperate people no more. But yet, I'm engaged to one. It seems that way. You know. And I'm really embarrassed to say this, you know. Now we're getting to the point where it's always expressing to her, well, what are you expecting out of me? And she revealed to me, like, you know what? Why I got to go through that? Why I got put down on paper what I'm expecting out of you? Because I want to open up our line of communication. But 10 years my younger, she just don't understand that. Mind you, I got control issues. As long as I can manipulate you, you younger than me, it's all groovy. But it's going to come back to haunt me. Because what's going to happen in my spiritual journey, she's going to grow. And she's going to hit me in the gut with some stuff that I said. And he goes, eventually going to be sick and tired of the same stuff that I'm putting out today. So I asked God, you know, to help me through this. And I think he will. Someone today suggested I seek out some counseling. You know what I mean? Counseling. Religious counseling. You know, and I said, you know what, I think I might want to consider that. Because I don't want a desperate woman, because I don't think no woman wants a desperate man. Because when you get into that process and you think it's love, and it's more so desperation than anything else, nothing comes out of it but chaos and confusion. Nothing comes out of it but a hideous disease. You know, and if I don't watch myself, I'll be just one opportunity from a drink or a drug of using. Because I use to my feelings. Time and time and time and time and time again. Filling the void, what was revealed to me in my early years through my psychologist of my mother not being there, my father not being there. So today, I'm like I said, I'm going through it, you know, with or without, but I'm going to go through it and I'm going to rock through it. I'm going to call you people up because I got a whole rack of numbers, and I do use them. To tell me or teach me, you know, well, Jeff, maybe you might want to consider this. Maybe you might want to consider that. Because if you don't, you become desperate all over again. I don't like being desperate. But that's another character defect of mine that periodically wants to jump out. I like loving people. And I like people to love me. But I don't like the strings attached to come along with it. The responsibilities of being monogamous. Because I'm a very promiscuous type of person. Because I like the flesh. I like to say that I'm in love. But reality, it's been a while since I've been in love. You know, love has a funny way of revealing itself. It reveals itself in the beginning of a relationship or at the end. You know, in the middle of it, you go through the complacency part. You go through the part of saying, you know, you all right. I'll be there when I get there. It's all groovy. We do what we do, you know. But when the person is jumping out or leaving, oh, no, you can't go like that. You can't leave me like that. Been there, done that. Desperate. Utterly desperate. And the bad part about it is I want to find somebody else to fit the void real quick because I don't want to go through it. I don't want to sit there. I don't want to sit there and rock. I want to pretend like, you know what, If you step into my life, I ain't got to go through the process. But it's not about that. It's about staying clean today. If I just don't use, if I just don't pick up, I might get past this thing. I love life. Life loves me. I'm in love with myself, you know, because I'm periodically going to pompous, egotistic, arrogant modes, and people step up to me and say, Jeff, you know, some things just ain't going to change. Well, I reveal to myself, even though I'm working on it, I am who I am. My life was already structured in the early ages of life. The independent, I got to have, I am who I am, you know, and this is me. Now, after all that's said and done, and I'm going reverting back to my potential fiance, I told her, you know, be careful what you're getting. And now she's like, you know, what are you saying? What are you telling me? And she knows my behavior, but accepts it. I don't know whether you call that love or do you call that desperation. You know, I want to believe that it's love. You love me now. That's what I want to believe. But now, again, everybody must go through their process. Everybody must go through their process, you know. So she'll go through hers and I'll go through mine. But I'm going to keep a positive attitude in my second marriage, because the first one was a disaster. I ain't had nothing to do with it, even though I was using. So I want to believe. But my first wife loved me, too. She loved me well enough, she said, you nigga, you need to get the hell out of my house under the influence. This is my house. You ain't coming up under here. And I think my grandmother had a lot to do with it, too, because she wouldn't let me in the house neither. She's like, oh, no, you're not coming in here under this, because my mother used. And she's seen enough of it. So it just watered its way on through. Again, I keep saying I love life. I'm going to sit here and pretend like I love, but I love life. I love people, you know. And I'm not really as desperate as I think I am. Because I don't have to settle for anything. And I choose not to, you know. But sometimes I'm in denial. Why do I do the things that I do? And someone says sick. Yes, I am sick. I am mentally sick. I am emotionally sick periodically because I want somebody to fill the void, and I use people. I'm revealing myself, you know, to all you people that don't even know me, and just some people you do know. But at the same time, I'm cleansing my soul. Because maybe it might get back to her, and she might make a profound decision. Give her the tape.
Yes.
Well, my psychologist got first dibs, because she wants to help me through it too, you know. I might even give it to my grandmother and my mother and let them understand, you know, this is who I am, this is what I do, and this is why I did what I did. But that doesn't make it excusable. Are you still doing the same thing, expecting a different result? Something to think about. Again, I don't know where to start. And I don't know what I am, but I'll let you know what I go through in this process one day at a time. Thanks for letting me share.
Once again, my name is Charlie. I'm at it. I want to thank Jeff for sharing. This is a touchy topic here, you know. I'm trying to make sense of it, but... You know, is it love or is it desperation? I know one thing, I loved to smoke cocaine when I was out there, you know, but when I end up, it was desperation. So we can apply this to many situations in our lives. It don't have to be a relationship with a man or woman. So, you know, is it love or desperation? That's a question that we all have to ask. You know, I know one thing, I love this program today, you know, and it's not, and it was out of desperation that I came here, but I love it today. So with any further ado, I'll give you the next speaker. That would be Brenda.
Woo!
my God. I am so nervous. Woo. And you know what? Standing right here, right now, I know that I'm loved. Okay? Ain't no more desperation. And I'm Brenda. I'm a grateful recovering addict. I just had to get that off the top. Because I see so many people that I know that got the email what time my workshop was. Okay? But I know I'm loved. And that's for sure. And that's behind being here in Narcotics Anonymous. Oh, my God, when she said, Brenda, will you do this workshop on love? Is it love or desperation? I said, she don't know me. What? Why is she asking me that? But I got a story on love and desperation. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to do the relationship thing. Because a lot of times I was in desperation, you know. And I said, so I got to need to stay away from that and start with my drug. That way I'll be on track and they don't head over there where the relationship is, okay? But desperate to use. And thought I loved it. I look at my story. Damn, I'm so grateful for Narcotics Anonymous, and that is no lie. I was so desperate that I thought I was on vacation when I started using, because I didn't want to face responsibilities anymore. I had a good job working for the government, and then came the lifestyle of selling drugs. And boy, I love selling drugs. And then I love using drugs. And then I love all the other stuff that came with it. So it became desperation. And I can remember when I used and I thought I was in love with it till I didn't have no more. Then it became desperation. And the means that I went to, any means, and it was about beating people. It was about selling my body because I like selling drugs. So, you know, I like getting other people drugs to sell their drugs so I can get me some. So I beat people. And that was desperation because I was ready to get killed then. You know, but God found fit that he loved me that much, that he got me arrested in Fairfax County and went to Fairfax County Detention Center. And I start to be in real desperation to get the hell up out of jail. But it was time for me to see that spiritual awakening. And I got sentenced with, I had 5 charges, and I had 40 years with each. And then once I got all the time served, I had an indictment in another place, and I was really desperate now, okay? I like, oh, no, where'd that come from? That must be somebody else. That can't be me. That was somebody else, because I didn't walk down there. I didn't deal with Fairfax County or Arlington. One block down, it was Arlington County. I'm like, okay, all right. They had witnesses to show who I was, you know. I'm like, okay, it must have been me. And I had 5 more charges in another jurisdiction for 40 years. And they did not run them consecutive. They ran them separate. They would not bring them together. And I was devastated. And I thought I was going to be in jail for the rest of my life. Because I had a whole lot of time. And I thank God that somebody loved me enough for me to stand here today. You know. And I just was sitting back there reflecting on my life, you know, how desperate I was when it came to using drugs. You know, giving up the children, you know, letting them go, family members, and I thought, you know, because I'm having a family member, they're not going to welfare or CPS is involved in my life, that I ain't have a problem, you know. But coming into Narcotics Anonymous, I found out I had a big problem, you know. Using became a way of life for me. And anything that got in the way was not in the way. And I was real desperate at the end. I was homeless, you know. And I didn't think I was homeless. I was in denial, boy, like mad when I was using. I thought I started out being okay, you know, because money was coming. I wasn't using that much. But then my addiction got along the way. It got right as fast as the money got, you know. So I became my best customer, everybody else's best customer, you know. And I just went downhill from there. And I remember selling up and down in Virginia in hotels for almost 2 years, just living in hotels, up and down the highway. I just can't, you know, I look at my story, I'm like, and I wasn't homeless? Damn, I was desperate. No, I wasn't homeless, I was desperate. And thought I had it going on because I had toilet paper in the room. I said, because I went to people's houses and I said, damn, they ain't got no toilet paper, they ain't got no food. They do it real bad. As long as they had toilet paper, a little bit of food, it could be oodles and noodles and hot dogs. I'm doing real good, okay? But once I didn't see no toilet paper, I knew I was doing real bad. Something was going wrong. That's my thinking, you know what I'm saying? But the desperation in using. The desperation in using. It will almost make you sell your mama. It almost made me sell mine, okay? I just thank God. I'm coming up on 13 years in July the 2nd. And I am so grateful, you know, and love, you know, desperation is easy because, you know, my whole life in using was desperate, you know. It's no question whether I loved the drugs in the beginning or what, but it was desperation. Now, love is a whole different ballgame here. I don't even know what it is, for real. You know, my love could be hold on to you and don't let you go. And then my love could be kick your ass to the curb. And still have feelings for you. So, you know, things that don't work here, don't sound right, you know? But being here and working on me, right, I found out that the type of love I have is so, I want to say unique, because I feel like I'm the only one to feel like this, you know what I'm saying? But I know I'm not the only one. So that's a good thing right there, because when I share how I am, you know, maybe somebody else say, oh, I'm like that too. But, you know, if you don't, so be it. You know, I've been in relationships in recovery. And I can't say whether they were desperate. Early on, maybe when I first came in, because, you know, they say, do not get in a relationship the first year you're here or whatever. I looked at them, I said, are they in a relationship? And they be in a relationship. I said, how the hell can they tell me not to be in a relationship? Okay. You know, but that's my experience. And my experience was, I truly believe that as long as, I really believe now that people that came in my life early on was put in my life for a reason, season, or a lifetime. And when I believe that, I'm not desperate because God gave them, placed them there for me, you know. And I had some wonderful relationships. I just didn't know how to be in relationships, you know. They came in my life just when I needed them. Not when I didn't need them. When I needed to work on something in me. The fear of loving someone, you know. My mom died and at the end of my addiction, and I just felt like the whole world abandoned me. And it was a lot of fear to get attached again to anything. And I have a lot of aunts, and I couldn't even get attached to them because my mom had left, you know. But I had, as I started the process of getting to know me and dealing with me, the things that was stagnating me and the fears, you know, of loving someone or becoming intimate with someone or whatever, that was a long road. And in recovery, I found the love of my life. And I lost him. You know, and I didn't realize that until he was gone. I knew I loved him, and I know he loved me, but the kind of love that I didn't know how to love, you know, stay together and be in love, you know what I'm saying? I can love you, and you don't have to be beside me. You know, you can go your way, and I go mine. We just don't mess with each other, you know, nobody else outside or whatever. But I'm like, that's not right, you know. So, you know, I've been kind of like taking a look at how I'm feeling now, because I have been in some healthy relationships in recovery, more than not healthy. I just don't tolerate too much, so I'm not in one. You know, but life goes on with me being in a relationship or not. But it's just so nice to be no longer desperate. Yeah. You know, I can't be so desperate for things that's not healthy for my recovery. I'm desperate to stay clean. I'm desperate to stay a part of Narcotics Anonymous and keep going to meetings, because I hear meeting people make it, you know, and being here, I do a lot of meetings. And, you know, desperate just to live and not use. You know, I'm trying to say, how can I really talk about love? But I do love a lot of people in special ways. You know, not the sexual thing all the time. I have real friends that I can love without all the sex and all that. I love my children. You know, I got one more home, you know, and she's the only one left. And sometimes I'm desperate to put her ass out. And on the other hand, I love her to death, you know. And it's just living life on life terms, you know. I can remember when I was saying to a whole lot of my network that I can remember when I used to be so desperate, I act like Tasmania Devil. I mean, I tear up and tear, you know, because I have this verbally abusive mouth early on, and I still do, but I just don't use it so much now, but I still use it. Yeah, it ain't went nowhere. It just don't come out so much. But, but I'm like, you know, I don't want to be like that anymore. You know, it's almost feeling like I'm using. my behavior when I'm acting like desperation, because my using was so desperate. You know, when it came to using, I was desperate all the time. So while I'm clean, I don't want to be desperate all the time. I want to be desperate to stay clean and not use, but all the other stuff, the chaos and the drama and I'm desperate for this and I'm desperate for that. No, I'm not desperate for anything but to breathe and to keep on going without using each day, you know. Because I love myself today. You know, I really love myself today. And while I'm loving me, I can love you, you know. But I'm like, my life now is full of love. Only time I get desperate is when, I don't even know when. When I'm around drama or chaos, okay? Desperate to do something that I ain't got no business doing. Like cussing somebody out or, you know, being in, you know, just doing the bad things, you know? Yeah. But I try not to be around those kind of people anymore. So I don't have a whole lot of desperate things going on in my life, you know? I try to make decisions with a sponsor, you know? So nothing is desperate anymore, you know? Anxiety a little, you know, but not desperate. Because when I get desperate, I may get anything. And anything may get me, you know. I heard Jeff says, you know, people pick desperate people, you know. I'm like, when I be in relationship and shit don't work, I'm like, is this desperation or is it love? Can I do without it or can I not? Ain't no such thing as cannot. So it may not never be love. But it might not be desperation either, but it's just not there with love, you know? I like to have people in my life, but I haven't got so used to being by myself that I don't know whether I'm desperate for anything. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be desperate for a man anyway. I just want a companion, but not desperation. You know, when I do the desperation with men, you know, I'm just doing sleeping around, just, you know, doing with anything and not having nothing because I'm feeling like I'm need of a man. You know, I'm not there anymore. That was when I first came in the rooms. And I wasn't that desperate evil because I had been locked up so much. I wanted to live life, you know. I wanted to hear the birds sing and, you know, the natural things, you know, that I've missed so long. But I'm just thank God for Narcotics Anonymous and make me know what's desperate in love, you know. I'm not too clear about the love thing yet, you know, all the way. I got some work to still do, you know. Desperation is not what I want to do. It's not a place I want to be in desperation of anything, you know. I was desperate to get clean. I was desperate to get a home. I was desperate to, you know, be on my own, not in a shelter. I was desperate to be a parent again. I was desperate, you know, just desperate. Desperate not to sell drugs when things didn't happen right. You know, holidays come and I got my children back. I was desperate not to sell drugs. You know, I came into rooms and shared where I was because the desperation almost overtook the recovery. And because I like fast money, I like the lifestyle to come with it, but I know I can't sell drugs without using it, you know. And so as I kept coming back and not picking up, today I have my own home. You know, I'm not desperate anymore. I'm not unmanageable no more. I still buy clothes out the Yang Yang. I'm desperate on that. But I'm working on that. You know, I just looked at my closet. I said, if I buy another pair of shoes, I'm going to hurt myself. And, you know, but, you know, life is still good. No matter what, all the desperation that life done brought me from the beginning to the end, I'm loving it. That's all I can say. I'm really loving it. So with that, I wanted to thank everyone for listening to me and thank everybody for being here for me. Thank you.
Okay. We want to thank everyone for coming out tonight. This will conclude our meeting. But I just want to say one thing. Love or desperation. You know, no matter if it was out of love or desperation that brought you here, we must give God or the high power of your understanding all the credit and all the glory, because we're all here together. If it was out of love or desperation, whatever the situation is, God is good, and we're going to take a moment of silence and close with the serenity prayer.